Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 163. It's a Thursday evening, so we're going to preview the week's fab coming up for you, week 23 fab, going over team schedules, most added on CBS, two star pitchers, and much more. We'll recap some recent news and see what other banter we can get involved with here. First off, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, in a back-to-normal basement. You can find him on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
Oh, you know, gave the update to everyone on Tuesday that the podcast room flooded. So that was Tuesday. Today was an afternoon in urgent care with yet another ear infection with the little one. So just another day in paradise, my friend. But last night was fun. Last night was fun. I will admit that we did our 2025. If you haven't heard by now, we have done our 2025 first 11 rounds. Draft and hold, and that was a blast. So that was I would say the highlight of my week so far, despite the floods and doctor visits and stuff like that. So how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a Thursday, so you know the drill. We're usually tired dads by the end of the week, and this show always gets us going and ready for the weekend, get us ready for our fab columns and all that fun stuff coming up. So and it's crazy, like 5 weeks of fab left. 5 weeks. So it's
bittersweet. Are you uh-huh. Is that a good thing for you, or are you like it's one of those things, like I think we're gonna miss this layout. I think we're gonna miss this show.
This show, it's from our side of it, people who don't understand, this is an easy show for us because it's pretty much is ready to rock and roll compared to other planning. But it's bittersweet because it means the fantasy season's coming to an end. But it's also sweet because it's less writing and stuff we have to do for a few months, so it's kind of a catch to like by Friday nights became exactly a lot better. So
and yeah, for me it's more the weekend part of the deal. It's the so I mean I write the HQ fab column a lot of that on Friday, but it's more putting the final touches on that on Saturday, and the actual by the time we actually get to our own teams last on Sunday, I won't miss that for a little while.
I usually prep it Friday like you. Saturday night I come home and I try to finish it, if not Sunday morning, then I do my fab. So yes, it's one of those things that'll be nice because there's, hey, Scouts Honors here. I come home sometimes on Saturday nights, and if you've read the article, you might know Bubba had a good time at the golf course or something. But hey, article gets out. That's all I'm going to say. Article gets there for you. So looking forward to all that. But yeah, it's going to be fun. It's almost there. FPAS around the corner. We're about
Little over 2 months, so let's call it 9 weeks. There is, for anyone interested in First Pitch Arizona, there is a price deadline, I guess, on Friday at midnight where you get up to nearly 30% off registration for First Pitch Arizona, which, again, is October 31st through November 3rd in Phoenix. We will, of course, both be there. We will, of course, be golfing on Sunday, so our last, you know, our final plea for any listeners out there who are interested in playing golf, hit us up. We got four foursomes trying to move on and move up from that. So that's, I think, our last pitch for First Pitch Arizona for now.
I always say, say that every time. That's not going to happen. So,
but there is that price deadline will save you a lot of money if you're on the fence, if you register by Friday night.
Yep. And the room blocks are available as well. So get in where you fit in and have some fun with the First Pitch. You will not regret it, I promise. All right, let's talk about some news and notes real quick. Ryan, Luis Eel hit the IL with a lower back injury. The Yankees believe and trust the Yankees as far as you can throw them, because this is how DJ LeMahieu's injury took 3 months. But Luis Eel said the back injury is minor. They expect him back after the 15-day IL stint. We'll see. This could also be a way to limit his innings, which is pretty smart, honestly. So we'll see how that goes. Will Warren got called up. That has no fantasy viability to me at all, unless you're stacking against him. So thoughts on this one?
A little harsh on old Will Warren.
Yeah. It's been rough. He's been harsh to anybody's ratios that rostered him so far this year.
Yeah, both. Well, certainly in the majors, and a 6 ERA, 1.4 WHIP, and in AAA. The K and walk numbers aren't too bad. I think he's like a top 100 pitching prospect.
Yep. He was popular in my DC podcast on Bench with Bubba. He was a popular name mentioned by Cross and Clegg when they were on that show. So yep. Will Warren, there are high expectations, just has not come to fruition this season.
Yeah. And I don't think he would line up for a St. Louis start next Saturday and then at the Cubs the following Friday. So no, I don't think I can recommend Will Warren. I do agree on the Luis Hill thing. Like, I think this anyone who has Luis Hill, you are the popular term playing with house money at this point. We kind of knew this was coming in terms of some kind of second half shutdown, slowdown, phantom thing, or maybe he's actually hurt, which wouldn't surprise either, just because this has been such a spike in workload for Luis Hill. But kudos for all of you who added Hill. He was just awesome in the first half, and I think now, I don't know, you probably cut bait. I'm sure you've got other injuries and stuff at this point, so you probably try and move on, but good year for him.
Yeah, basically when he returns on paper, there's 3.5 weeks of the season left, so he gets 3 starts, maybe 4 at the most. So he's kind of pick your poison. That's assuming he comes back on time. So
right.
If you can hold him, sure, go for it, but this is definitely a chance to shake and bake the roster if you need to. This one hurt because you talk about playing with house money. Victor Vodnik has made me his money back in spades since I picked him up on this show. He's been picking up saves left and right, but now he heads to the IL with a biceps injury. And it's kind of a freakish one because he was warming up to get the save a couple nights ago, and he got shut down while warming up with the injury. So we saw Chiavelli get the save. Tyler Kinley got the hold. Tyler Kinley should be the closer in Colorado unless something weird happens. So what are your thoughts on the situation? Because, again, it's closers in Colorado, so stay away if you want. I get it. But what are you thinking here? Because I think Vodnik might be done. They have not given a timetable for his return, which makes me think this is not good.
Great run, cool name, but yeah, it does not sound good. And I agree. I think if you just look at the box score of that Colorado game and you see what's his name, Chiavelli, who got the save, it was kind of like an emergency type of deal because Kinley had already pitched. So I guess Kinley's the guy I would stay away. I mean, he had a 6 ERA last year, pretty much a 6 ERA this year, tons of walks, good amount of fly balls, like does not keep the ball on the ground, and that is not a recipe for success at Coors Field. So you thank Victor Vodnik for his services, you move on, and I don't think you touch this Rockies closer situation, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would not do that. A crazy stat I saw with Vodnik the other day when this injury took place, 24 years old, he leads the majors in pitches thrown among relievers.
Victor Vodnik?
Yeah. Leads the majors in pitches thrown among relievers.
Huh.
That's, and to finish the quote here, he leads the majors among relievers, even though the Rockies haven't played a meaningful game all season.
Yeah, so, dude's a machine. He's thrown 64 in. I had no idea. That's a good pull.
Yeah, so that's even crazier. He throws gas, so you could add him to that, you know, fast list or something like that. New York Yankees, Jazz Chisholm, it felt like it was just yesterday. We mentioned he was going to the IL with a UCL injury and thought the world was ending. Jazz Chisholm's going to be activated from the IL on Friday. They've already sent Oswald Peraza back to AAA after Thursday's game. So Jazzy Jazz is back for all the Twitter doctors that said that was false to believe a player. This one came true. This could be a quick re-injury because who knows, but the fact he's hitting him back in the lineup is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how this goes. Because even like Aaron Boone, take him for what it's worth. The Yankees manager was like, did not believe Jazz would be able to come back this early. We'll see. It is like, I was 2 picks away of getting Jazz in the fourth, at the end of the fourth round in last night's draft. So like pick 60, I would have tried to do backflips if that actually happened. I wonder if I wonder where Jazz would have gone if we knew what we know now and he's back tomorrow. But still I don't think out of the blue or out of the woods, sorry, because I have questions on this injury. Not a doctor, yeah, but I have questions.
Like, my question is, like, when he's playing third base, he goes to field the ball and throws at a weird angle across the diamond. Is like the UCL gonna hold up on that one? Like, that just seems like hitting's one thing to me, but making those tough angle throws from across the diamond seem like an issue with the UCL. But we'll
and
see.
Jazz,
Ryan, yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, finish. Good. You're talking about Jazz.
Jazz is, I believe, a few games away from third base eligibility for next year. So that's probably the biggest, one of the bigger takeaways, takeaway of this.
Just don't blow the elbow out till you get that eligibility, then we can have some fun.
He's got 13 games, so needs 7 more, needs to play a full week to get there.
I think he can do it. Hopefully, we'll see what happens. But Ryan mentioned a draft from last night. We should have led off with that, but that's my bad. We will recap the entire draft, the first 11 rounds, focusing on our picks and others on Tuesday's show. So you'll hear about it a lot till Tuesday, but we'll give you a twist on it differently. We just wanted to we don't want to skip your fab this week is what we're going to try to do.
We want to see this all the way through and do fab every single week. So we'll delay our recap. And yes, and I think true Bubba in the Bloom form, we'll have some creative topics to try and not just regurgitate what everyone hears on other shows by next Tuesday, because there'll be a lot of stuff out about the draft. So Kevin in the chat, what's up, Kevin? Also coming to First Pitch, also playing golf. He loves our picks last night, so to get the Hastings seal of approval, I think that's good. He also says it's thank you for your service time of year, which is a very good
Luis,
point.
He said after Luis Eel. Yeah, when we talked about Eel, he said, yep, send him out. Thanks.
Yep. Okay, do not be shy with those drops, even though they have helped you this year.
Yep, most definitely. Jake Fraley heads to the IL with a knee sprain. Not many people. I liked Fraley. He was playing well, and you know they have home games next week, so that would have been fun. But Benson should get some more playing time in a platoon in the outfield. Anything on this for you?
No, not really. It's a Will Benson, Ahmed Rosario, my guy. He's back in Cincinnati. Yep. I think it's like a platoon between those guys. Maybe some Stuart Fairchild, because Friedel and Steer are pretty set in the outfield, given that Dominic Smith, which I guess is our next news item, is playing first base for the Reds. So that pretty much moves Steer, I think, to left field most days. So it's a Will Benson platoon, and that doesn't interest me very much for fantasy.
Yeah, you mentioned Dominic Smith. He was released when Tristan Casas came back with the Red Sox. The Reds have picked up Dominic Smith, which kind of coincides with Jaime Candelario hitting the IL, which looks like it'll be for at least a few weeks, if not the rest of the season, they're saying. So now you got a Ty France, a Dominic Smith platoon at first base. So Dom Smith, as much as Ryan has made fun of me in that ballpark with the right series, could be interesting. I'll say that much.
Here you go on the Dom Smith train again. I'll give you the ballpark. I like the park is very nice. I don't know if as I peek ahead at our schedule, Cincinnati gets 6 home games this coming week. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, 7 home games, 6 against righties.
Mm-hmm. That smells like Dom Smith. That's what you're smelling there.
Nodding his head in approval. So maybe Dom Smith is interesting as a corner infield stream this coming week.
Now
what do we got here? What do we got? League average strikeout rate hitting .237, 6 homers and nearly 300 of plate appearances. That's not so hot, my friend. 10% barrel rate. That's good. The power is there.
You got to do the easy approach. What's his hit batted ball profile look like in Great American Small Park compared to Fenway? That's the key. I'm just kidding. That's the one everyone does when someone signs somewhere else. So yeah,
the overlay,
the real quick overlay. Last but not least, this isn't really relevant, but the way both me and Ryan feel about this, I had to bring it up on the show. After just a few starts and a few prospects to Miami, Trevor Rogers has been sent to AAA by the Baltimore Orioles. The bright side is we talked about it the other day. We're kind of wondering. This kind of locks Cade Povich in for now, which is good. This locks Cade Povich in to Rogers' spot in the rotation, which we weren't sure how that was going to play out.
And good, honestly, good on the Orioles for, you know,
admitting their failure.
Exactly. That sunk cost fallacy kind of thing and sending Rogers down. And I even we both were very anti this move, Baltimore getting Rogers. It just made no sense. No matter what they gave up for him, I don't care what they gave up for him. Whenever you add one of the worst pitchers in baseball when you're in a division race, it just doesn't make sense. I wouldn't quite call it a failure quite yet. I think they've got 2 more years, Trevor Rogers. Maybe they can do something with the guy for next year. But, man, good on the Orioles for saying, all right, we're cutting bait here and we'll try again next year or until someone else gets hurt.
100%. A couple quick things before we start our fab preview. Michael C. in the chat. Did Bubba not take a catcher? And then Kevin Hastings have come back. Bubba doesn't need a catcher in the first 11 rounds. Yeah, and then the one of the biggest reasons the guy I was looking to target is Michael C. says Rob D. took Ohapi pretty dang early. Yeah, between Contreras and Ohapi. I was going to take Contreras. James took him early too, but I kind of once a few guys leave, they all start blending together for me. So we move on, and we'll talk more about that next Tuesday, but I love how the chat just knows me too well. Too well. All right. Let's preview some fab this week, Ryan. Let's talk about we'll go schedules like usual, then CBS, and then we will talk the other goodies when it comes to two-step pitchers. So when you're looking at the schedule here, Ryan, what stands out to you?
A lot of 7-game weeks. No 5-game weeks. We've got an 8-gamer. Got the Kansas City Royals and Cleveland Guardians playing a doubleheader on Monday, and then Kansas City gets a full 8 games. However, it currently looks like it's a 4-4 lefty-righty split, which is a little bit of a bummer. But I think at this point in the season, we have done this format all year where we're looking at each week's schedule and using that as kind of a jumping off point for every single team. I think at this point in the season, schedule, games left, lefty righty is even more important than even like a rest of season projection. Because quite honestly, we don't know how the hell these guys are going to do over the last month of the season. We don't know who they're going to face, who they're going to pitch against, all that sort of thing. So I think kind of the lowest risk way to improve your batting is always to maximize those plate appearances. I think even more so over the final month of the season.
Yep, no doubt about it. Get those counting stats up as much as possible by maximizing those plate appearances, as you said. All right, let's talk about it. Arizona Diamondbacks leads the way here, one of the hottest teams in baseball. They have 6 games next week, all at home. Mets and then the Dodgers on tap. 2 lefties, 4 righties. Like, Jock's pretty well owned, but the one that I'm going to double check again, and dude's been just nuclear hot. He's only 48% rostered in 12s. Adrian Del Castillo. Yep. Catcher for the Diamondbacks. Dude is just on another level, and I've been over the moon watching him produce the way he has.
Been an excellent run. You're probably going to have to pay for it in FAB now, given that, you know, if you did not pick up Adrian Del Castillo last week, Bubba, I know, you know, hashtag catcher, man, you were on that train. So listen to Bubba, not me. But, yeah, Adrian Del Castillo is the guy who – is the add on Arizona this week, especially if you need catcher. The power was there in the minors this season for Del Castillo. Hit 24 home runs, hit 320 in AAA with a really good K rate. So this is not, I don't think this is just a hot major league week. Yes, there will be peaks and valleys and that sort of thing, but Adrian Del Castillo looks pretty legit. It's just, again, you're going to have to pay for it given what he had, like a 6 RBI game. On Monday or Tuesday or something.
Yep, Monday at a 6 RBI game, just a monster game on that one. The question, another question I have for you, though, and I think I know the answer, but I want to see what you have to say. Ryan Nelson's basically being used as a long reliever / spot starter. Are we holding on to Ryan Nelson?
Probably not.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. And it sucks
because, and I don't know if he does move back because
that's the tough part. Yeah,
right. So. No, I think Nelly Nasty needs to go to free agency.
He's been very good too. That's why it's pretty interesting. Like, you got Jomo who stinks, but they paid him. You got E-Rod. Like, you got all these guys that are struggling, but they got paid, so they're getting to get a longer leash essentially. Where Ryan Nelson just we're gonna monitor his innings, I think, type story. Mm-hmm. All right, the Atlanta Braves. They have 7 games coming up this week. 2 lefties, 5 righties, all on the road. They have Minnesota for 3, Philadelphia divisional matchup for 4. Jared Kelnick's not even playing every day now, so that's fun. Sitting versus lefties for sure. Jorge Soler has a hamstring injury, has not gone on the IL, but has missed 6 straight games. So that's cool. That's Braves doing Braves things. If anybody's curious, what are you seeing here that you like? Because unless you want Gio Urshela for something, not a whole lot I'm excited about.
No, I mean, we talked about Urshela on the Tuesday show, given the Austin Riley news. Not interesting. Really, no one in this lineup. Whit Merrifield. If you're desperate up the middle, is playing every day and actually lately hitting second between like Michael Harris and Marcelo Zuna. So got to be real desperate, but maybe some Whit Merrifield. I think the biggest thing this past week for Atlanta, I think you can unfortunately safely drop Grant Holmes, who is been moved to the back to the bullpen after putting up a really nice stretch of starts while Reynaldo Lopez was injured. But Lopez is back and is in the rotation, and Grant Holmes is out. I think Holmes followed Reynaldo Lopez in Lopez's first start back, but yeah, I think we can drop Grant Holmes. Unfortunately, super skilled guy, but you gotta similar to Ryan Nelson, you need to be in the rotation.
Yeah, I picked Holmes up for $1 in a couple leagues last week just to see how this would shake out, and watching how it shakes out now, I'll pretty much move on. But I figured $1 was worth the gamble there for one Grant Holmes. Baltimore Orioles, they have 6 games coming up this week, all on the road. They have 3 at the Dodgers and then 3 in wonderful Coors Field. Gombert, Gordon, Quantrill, yummy. 1 lefty, 5 righties for the Baltimore Orioles. So you can go back to your dude if you're feeling like it.
Yeah, we can go back to the dude. We can go back to my namesake, Mr. O'Hearn, though it's been pretty rough in the second half. I want to say we talked about O'Hearn on some type of probably our last Tuesday show where we talked about strikeout and barrel rate faders lately. So I don't know. In a right-handed heavy week, I think you can roll with O'Hearn, but just know it's not the lock that it was in the first half, and probably likewise for Cedric Mullins. Outside of that, I don't got much here. Anthony Dominguez.
We'll get to the pitching in a minute. Eloy, I know he's technically in a platoon with O'Hearn. We'll see how that keeps shaking out. I guess it is actually a strict looking at it now. So, yeah, never mind with all those righties on tap. Because Eloy's only 48%. He's actually hitting better than O'Hearn. So, but, yeah. All right, Sir Anthony, back-to-back blown saves.
Right. Are you worried about Sir Anthony, who was pretty much newly minted and was kind of the fab darling last week for closers? Are you worried about Sir Anthony losing his job with those two blown saves and losses?
I would be lying if I wasn't worried, but I still think he's keeping it, if that makes sense. But I think the leash got real short. Let's put it that way. Like, one more screw up he needs to put a couple saves together before he can blow another save type situation. I mean, let Kimbrel go for quite a while.
Yeah, they did, and Kimbrel, I think, honestly deserved the leash. He got paid, and he is Craig Kimbrel in quotes there. I don't think they'd go back to Kimbrel. I think he gave up like a home run in the sixth inning pitching this week. No,
he's not coming back.
Would it be like Yenny or Cano?
That's what I'm thinking. I think it'd be Cano get another shot. He's got the last two holds. He got his chance when Bautista got hurt. Yiner would be a dude to look at. And if you know you're interested in him, he is 25% rostered in OCs.
Cano is?
Yeah.
Jeez. What? Yep. That's high. That's
higher than I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't like. I agree. I think Dominguez still keeps it. Probably needs another blown save or two, but just something to keep tabs on. Closers, man, for as stable as it was in the first half of the season, it's getting pretty wild down the stretch.
Yep, a lot of moving pieces. Add drops like Urseg worked out great. Some of these other ones not so much. And then I wanted to highlight. We talked about it early on with the Trevor Rogers news, but Cade Povich at the Dodgers next week, and then the following week though he gets the White Sox. So add him for cheap if you'd like before the White Sox start. And then if he stays in, that likely leads to a two-step the following week, just based on how things look there. So you could get a nice little Povich run if you're feeling like a Povich run. Let's put it
that
way.
And I think you can get him pretty cheap. I think a lot of folks will look at the year-to-date major league stats and skills, which are pretty bad, but had pitched better in the minors lately and looked good in his first start back whenever that was this past week.
Yep, quite interested in that. Boston Red Sox, they have 7 games coming up this week. They have Toronto at home for 4 and then 3 at Detroit. 1 lefty, 6 righties. Like, if you're in some league where somehow Willy Abreu or Tristan Casas is available, go for it. There's Yoshida, but I feel like most of these guys are all rostered, Ryan.
Agreed. I don't really have anything. We could talk about Yoshida again, but he is one on the 2025 draft last night. He's utility only. I don't think he was picked, but he's utility only next.
That's what I did. I looked at him. I saw he wasn't qualified. Season. I'm like, yeah, I know it sounds taboo, but I was not looking for him to fill my utility spot.
Yeah. Kenley, we had a Chris Martin shout out in the chat earlier from Uncle Ted.
He picked up a save.
One of many, but did pick up a save the day after Kenley Jansen. Kenley's still the guy. So, no, I don't really see much else here in Boston. Maybe check to see if Tanner Houck was dropped. He had a good start this week. I don't know.
Yeah.
That turns things around. I'm still skeptical, but it was kind of funny after we crapped on him. Tanner Houck suddenly spins a gem, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'll still be kind of sitting back and watching that one from a distance, I think. Again, thanks for your service type situation. Because he's one of the long list of players at the beginning of the season. We said innings limits or whatever, and some of these guys look like they're hitting walls right about now. So something to keep in mind going forward. Maybe that's why Yiner Cano is not too bad as an option, even if it's only the eighth, maybe sneaks into the ninth. Chicago Cubs, they have 6 games coming up this week, all on the road. Pittsburgh, Washington, 3 lefties, 3 righties.
On the hitting side, I don't have anything here. This is the same Cubs that we've been talking about all year. Your guy, Miguel, we had a catcher grand slam today, so we got to give Miguel Amaya.
Boom.
A shout out. The biggest thing I have for the Cubs is we want to talk about closers.
Porter Hodge.
Porter Hodge got the save on Tuesday in the wake of the team somewhat mercilessly cutting Hector Neris. Porter Hodge has basically a 2 ERA, great strikeout walk numbers, misses a ton of bats. I think that is your pickup in Fab for closures this week, and maybe a decent chunk of change on Porter Hodge, depending on how badly you need saves. I think he has pitched pretty well. I think he can hold the role the rest of the year if the Cubs keep going back to him.
Yep, I agree. Obviously, we have a bunch more to go here, but really off the top of my head, he's the clear-cut closer to target this week and go from there, because he, like I said, he's got the stuff, he's got the role. He shouldn't, knock on paper, lose it. But I said that about Sir Anthony last week, so we'll see how that goes going forward. All right, Chicago White Sox, moving on. No, oh my goodness, 7 games. They got Detroit for 1, Texas for 3, Mets for 3, 5 lefties, 2 righties. Now he can move on, probably.
Yeah, now he can move on. Yeah, bench Nicky Lopez against those 5 lefties. Just I got nothing here, man.
This is such a bad baseball team. I watched them play the Giants for 3 games, and the fact the Giants didn't sweep them says a lot about the Giants, but that's just a bad baseball team. The White Sox are a bad baseball team.
Playing out the string.
It's bad. Cincinnati Reds, they have 7 games this week, all at home, as you mentioned earlier. 1 lefty, 6 righties. You get the Oakland A's for 3, and then the Brew Crew for 4. I will say this, though. It's Colin Ray, who's, smoking mirrors. Frankie Montas, who's pitched well the last couple games, especially his past start. Tobias Myers, who's been good, and Freddie Peralta. So it's not, easy street, but it's still a great American small park. So thoughts on this one for Cincinnati?
I'll just give your boy credit again, Dom Smith. If you're in a pinch at corner,
say it like you mean it, Ryan. Come on.
I hope they play Ahmed. I always get excited for Ahmed Rosario. Yeah, I hope they play him regularly, but I just don't see it happening. Utility.
So here's a question for you. We have a guy that's he is 39% rostered, no C's. First 3 starts, amazing. Gets smacked around by Toronto this week. Gets another start this week, this weekend. His name's Nick Martinez. Are we jumping on this train? He gets, so he lost his 2-step last week. Now he gets a 2-step this week versus Oakland versus Milwaukee, both at home. Any interest in that?
I mean, I kind of hyped him last week and then he got shelled. So, I back Nick Martinez. Excellent, excellent control. Throws a ton of strikes. And it's not just like a Kyle Hendricks type of thing. He does miss some bats and get some Ks. So the home park doesn't help, especially he's only got a 38. Nick Martinez only has a 38% ground ball rate this year. So he does not keep the ball on the ground as well as he has in the past. But I like Nick Martinez in a 2-step this week. I think the skills are pretty good.
Yep, I'm with you. That's why I wanted to bring that one up real quick before we move on to the Cleveland Guardians. They have 7 games this week, all at home as well. They have the Royals for 4, Pirates for 3, 6 righties out of 7 games for Cleveland. It seems like most guys of interest are already taken, but anything excites you with Cleveland?
No, they are starting to lose. They're starting to not have a rotation anymore.
Are you a Boyd boy this week? He's got
he got roughed up against the Yankees.
It doesn't surprise me. He's got the Pirates coming up this week and the Dodgers next week. Or the following week.
In a 2-step?
No. He's got the Pirates next week in 1 start, and he's got the Dodgers the following week.
Yeah. I'd take Nick Martinez over Boyd.
Yeah. I'm with you. I wasn't on Boyd to begin with. I was very hesitant on that situation.
Yeah.
Anything else with Cleveland?
I don't think so.
They're pretty bleak.
I have Brian Rocchio on a couple drafted old teams that he's alive and playing and actually doing some things. But
he steals bases. He steals bases.
He's hit a few homers lately. I don't know. But no, he's...
No, I do have him locked into a couple where I had no other options. He is a middle infielder for me, 100%.
Yep.
I feel that pain as well. Colorado Rockies, they have 7 games this week. So we have a full week of Colorado and Cincinnati after a week of nothing. So this will be fun.
Beautiful. Yep.
Yep. Watch some fab bids go wild. You got Miami for 4, Baltimore for 3, 1 lefty, 6 righties. Nolan Jones is back. Toglia is always available. I'm not saying there must. I'd rather have Toglia probably over Jones, to be honest. But what are you thinking here on the Colorado Rockies?
What happened to? We've got that's the thing, dude. It's like Toglia is what?
He's up to 97% rostered. My goodness, never mind.
What's Nolan Jones?
I'm just 96.
Okay. So yeah, I like, so you can't really pick those guys up. I could say Jordan Beck again, but
he got sent back. He got sent back.
Did he?
Oh no! I was thinking of Tyler Black. I was thinking of Tyler Black. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, it is
to me. They're the same guy every time. They
yes, exactly. The same dude. Both called up at the same time. Both got like shafted with playing time and got sent back down. Jordan Beck will probably play 7 games at home, so that's mildly interesting. But it's just a guy who, when he comes back and hits in the majors, cannot stop striking out. The K rate wasn't there in the minors for Jordan Beck. It is there now in the majors through multiple stints. So I can't really recommend Jordan Beck, but of anyone, we also can't really ignore like a full Rockies home week in the summer. That's the only name I can really come up with. Like Aaron Shunk is on. I don't even know who that is. So.
He's playing every day. But the one guy I'll mention, if you are in deep formats and you're desperate for catching, Drew Romo got called up because they got rid of Elias Diaz. He's only got one hit so far in 3 games. He's one for 11, striking out a ton. But at AAA this year, dude hit .297, 14 home runs, even stole 3 bases. So maybe it's a get comfortable type thing. Maybe he just sucks at the bigs. Who knows? But if you need like a dollar catcher and just for a week, he's in Coors, probably plays 5 games, you could do worse things with your day. So I'm just going to throw that one out there too.
I think I'd rather add Tony Romo.
Hey, that's totally understandable. Just wanted to throw that one out there if you're hearing it. I always specify deep league if you're interested in this kind of one. But when he does have a good week, don't think I won't remind you of that. Detroit Tigers, they have 7 games this week. White Sox for 1, and then they come home for the Angels for 3, Boston for 3, all right-handed pitching. So Riley Green's back. Let me see what his roster rate is real quick. It's got to be.
It's got to be high.
100%. 100%.
What about Parker Meadows? That's the one who he's going to lead off every day against right-handed pitching.
Parker Meadows 94%, Carpenter's 97%. People are on the ball with the Detroit Tigers. Do you go Trey Sweeney, who starts versus righties, sits versus lefties?
Yeah. You like him?
Deeper leagues, yes. He actually hit his first home run the other day, so you got that going for you. He is 1% rostered if you are interested in something like that.
And we've only got for Trey Sweeney, who I think is, that's the guy who probably benefits most from this schedule. Only 11 plate appearances in the big leagues this year, so we can't really take anything with that. But this is a guy who has 15 homers, 20 steals in the minors this year in like 450 plate appearances, hitting decently. So in a deeper one, Sweeney. What about Torque? Torque's come back at a 4-hit game, I think, in his first game back. Spencer Torkelson homer today off of Justin Steele. So that's, I think he plays every day. The other thing with the schedule, it's super easy. 8% K to walk for the starting pitchers opposing Detroit. So what's Torque's roster rate?
50%. So that's not a bad one. If you need some pop, just know he might not hit for average, but I could see that being interesting.
Torque or your guy, Dom Smith, the Dominator?
Oh, you got to do that. If you need power, Torkelson. If you need batting average, Dom Smith.
Wow. Surprised you even thought about that. That's a no-brainer. Torque, man.
No, it's not a no-brainer. You want a better beer on this week's production between the two?
Nah, that's crazy, man. We can't do beer bets on 1 week of people.
You're poking the bear. You're poking the bear. So I'm
trying to. Yeah, you're fighting back. And no, that's bad. We can't do that. We're going to be like live betting. Will this guy get a hit in the first inning?
That's why I play DFS. So, Trey Sweeney, Torkelson, Jace Young. If you need a third baseman, like Sweeney and Jace Young, it's just kind of more of a deeper league stream. I'm not like all in on those kind of guys, but if you want to slide them through for cheap, go for it. Torque's probably got the most appeal. I'll agree with you on that one when it comes to this team. Any pitch, there's really nothing pitching wise. They're talking about slowing Scoobal down, which is interesting. My boy Sammons is there. Kyder Montero. Anything entice you with Detroit pitching?
None of them, except for Scoobal.
Fair enough. Yeah, because, it's bad. Scoobal or bust on that one. Houston Astros, they have 7 games coming up this week. 3 at Philadelphia, and then they come home for 4 versus Houston. 2 lefties and 5 righties. Kyle Tucker is expected back early, like around Labor Day, like around September 4th, I believe I saw. So not for next week. So any interest in the Astros situation?
The biggest one I'd be interested in for Fab is Shea Whitcomb. Has the, you know, had a 25-25 season at AAA this year with a .293 batting average. Like that is astronomical. And
well done.
Shea Whitcomb is playing third base every day. He's hitting eighth, but he's playing every day, and it's a 7-game week against kind of a league average type of starting pitcher. So yeah, Shea Whitcomb, third base. If you need third baseman, I'd go there.
And he should get run for a while because Bregman's battling that elbow. They DH'd him. They're practicing him at first base before the game on Thursday. They're going to play him at first base for a bit. Third base is probably another week or two away, they said. That could change. But so Whitcomb should get plenty of run at third base for at least a few weeks. If, like Brian said, you're looking for some action there, that he could definitely provide something for you. I'm still waiting to see what they do with the rotation. Are they going to stick with the 6-man, or is somebody getting bounced? Because Arrighetti threw great again on Thursday. It's like I've been saying, it's Arrighetti or Brown, and Arrighetti keeps stating his case to stick around, so we'll see how that one plays out as well. All right, Kansas City Royals, they have 8 games on the docket. They have 4 against the Cleveland Guardians, 4 against the Houston Astros, 4 lefties and 4 righties, so does make things very difficult, Ryan, but I guess I'll do this real quick to help the listeners. The first half of the week, they play 5 games, 3 of them are righties, 2 lefties. Over the weekend, 2 lefties and 1 righty. So if you want to play the split week in a biweekly league, potentially could play some lefties to start the week.
Yeah, maybe, but like who? Hunter Renfro, Mikel Garcia. But I'm not rolling Garrett Hampson or De'Ron Blanco out there. This is a line change.
Blanco's playing well.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, he has been good lately. So maybe a sneaky De'Ron Blanco the first half. Let's go with that. It's tough in an 8-game week to have that type of split, because like my guy, Michael Massey, is only going to play 4, does not play against lefties. MJ Melendez is a platooner. Kyle Isbell is a platooner. So kind of maybe play that half-week game here, but it's kind of a waste of an 8-game week, unfortunately.
And then the other thing I'll mention, and it's pure speculation now, but you'd imagine Alec Marsh gets called up to pitch game 2 of the doubleheader against Cleveland. Does that interest you at all?
Probably not against Cleveland, and he's probably not making 2 starts.
Yeah, that's like a buck is what I'm saying. It didn't get out.
Okay. Yeah, Cleveland's good. Good.
No, they are. They definitely are. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, they have 6 games coming up this week. They got 3 at Detroit, 3 at home versus Seattle. Looking like we got 4 righties and 2 lefties on tap this week. So looking at the Angels, don't look too hard. You might get sick, but what interests you here?
Yeah, do we need to look at the Angels?
Yeah, Mickey Moniak left with an injury on Thursday, so that makes things even more pathetic. Nico,
he
went deep. He hit his first home run.
Nico Cavadas. We just got a 3-star review for that one.
He had 17 homers at AAA, hitting .281. So it's the worst things you can do with your life, but I'd rather have like Dom Smith or something personally.
Of course you would rather have Dom Smith.
I was waiting for that. I'll let it silent for you for a second there.
I got nothing else on the Angels.
Yeah, no, Angels are bad. They're just behind the White Sox in terms of get out of the system.
Yep.
The Los Angeles Dodgers, they have 6 games as well this week. 3 at home versus Baltimore, 3 at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Looking like 3 lefties and 3 righties for the Dodgers that got rid of Jason Hayward. They said, peace out, homie. He gone. So what are we thinking here with the Dodgers? 3-3 is difficult.
3-3 is difficult. It'll be a night. It'll be quite the tell to see if the Dodgers play Max Muncy against lefties. Muncy is back. He's back up from the IL, which is absolutely fantasy relevant. I would think Max Muncy is available in a good chunk of non IL leagues. I think folks who were stashing Max Muncy gave up on that plan months ago. So Max Muncy is a very interesting ad. I just don't know. I don't know how much he's going to play against left-handed pitching. Gavin Lux has been on fire lately. Tommy Edman is. I can confirm. I watched a Dodgers game this week. I will cede that he is at Tommy Edman is alive and has played every day against right-handed pitching.
Yeah, he wasn't supposed to play yesterday. Miguel Rojas got scratched before the game, and so Edman got put in.
Okay. So it'll be interesting.
If people are curious.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how much Edman and Muncy play, but I think those guys are ads. I mean, absolutely, they're ads. They're both have been very good in the past, and maybe the schedule allows you to add them for cheaper. I don't know.
Yeah, Muncy's 86%, Edman's 87%. Muncy's hitting really well since he got called up, which is crazy to see. But question here from Eric Alterman.
Yeah.
Do you guys buy into 1 month and Gavin Lux getting hot? I do for now. I really do. Mainly I talked about on the show many times, like former highly touted prospects finding their groove finally. He's actually playing decent. He's playing every day at second base, and the hitting's followed. So I'm a believer, but I get it. It's 1 month, so maybe not get too excited. But he's not striking out a ton. He's making great quality of contact. Like, I'm a fan of what's going on.
Here we go. Here's some professional presentation for the YouTube crowd.
He's going to share a rolling graph, I have a feeling.
Here we go. Look at this. So I was going to – I was just wondering, has Gavin Lux done this before? Does the rolling graph show up? Oh, there we go. Has Gavin Lux done this before and we just haven't really seen it? Kind of. He's almost been this good in 2022, kind of in the middle of that season, and has gone way back down. So I don't know. I'm not as high, I don't think, as you are, Bubba, in terms of buying into someone based on – this 1 month, even though it is Gavin Lux and there's considerable prospect pedigree, I still want to see more. But again, if you want to see more, you wait and you miss them. So that's
only 5 weeks left, boys. Take your
the
time
game theory aspect. Exactly.
Yeah. He's been on my roster for a few weeks, two more home runs last week. So keep it coming.
Damn. Now I got to get the damn schedule back on.
Yeah. Now the fun part begins.
I got all cocky and happy. I could pull up a,
you did well, my friend. That was highly productive stuff. I appreciate it.
Just trying to innovate and take the production level of this show to the next level is really what I'm here for.
Well, I appreciate it, because I'm just here for witty banter. Miami Marlins, 7 games coming up this week, all on the road. They get Colorado for 4, and then the Giants for 3. It's looking like it's going to be 3 lefties and 4 righties potentially. But you got Snell and Ray to finish out the weekend. That's going to be no bueno for the Marlins. What are you thinking on this one? Because I don't want Stowers. Sanchez is good. I'm still a fan of Jonah Bright if no one's jumped on that train yet. I think there's a lot there. And I'm still a Derek Hill guy in deep leagues, but I know you're not. So, thoughts?
No, I like Jonah Bright more than Hill.
I agree.
I don't know. He hasn't really hit for much power, though. 5 homers, 130 plate appearances, 5% barrel rate. I hate to say it, but I think I'd go Dom Smith over Jonah Bride. I don't see much on the Marlins, man.
I love hearing that. Milwaukee Brewers, they have 7 games coming up this week. They have the Giants at home for 3. Then they go to Great American Small Park for 4. 2 lefties, 5 righties. Sal Frelick just got activated off the – I mean, Blake Perkins, my bad, got activated off the IL. That's what sent our boy Black back to AAA. Still, I'm no more Jake Bowers. Not doing this again. What's your thoughts on Milwaukee?
Garrett Mitchell's been terrible lately. They feel like they've kind of cooled down quite a bit.
It's been the Jackson Churio, William Contreras, Willy Adames show. They've carried this team.
Yeah, and you took Willy Adames last night.
Yes, I did.
I like that one. I don't have much. I wrote a thing on HQ this week for my speculator column looking at, I think it was like in season. Yeah, summer strikeout and barrel rate changers, similar to what we did a couple weeks ago. But it was what we did was year by year. This was kind of more month by month. But anyway, Rhys Hoskins has been the worst hitter in terms of drop and strikeout and barrel rate this summer versus the first couple months of the season. It's been real bad for Rhys. I think you can probably drop him. If you're still holding on, even in deeper leagues, it's been pretty brutal for him.
It's been rough. Frankie Montas, I just keep him on your radar, but he does pitch at Great American next week. So I get it if you want to hold off. But he gets the Rockies the following week in Milwaukee, which is pretty nice. Minnesota Twins. They have six games coming up this week, all at home versus Atlanta and Toronto. Two lefties, four righties. Get the line change going. Wallner went deep this week, Ryan. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I was surprised you didn't send me a little text, because I did see that. I decided not to poke the bear when I saw that. But
I'm a gentleman and a scholar.
It's almost a bit at this point. Wallner is okay. I got some blowback on Twitter. You rounded up your allies against me for some Matt Wallner debate.
Real quick, Wallner. If you need power, Wallner or Torkelson.
I mean, if you only need power, let's go Torque. Screw that. Of course, let's go Torque. Torque's gonna play twice as much.
No, he's not.
Let's go.
I'll take Wallner.
I'm debating a end of year beer bet. Home runs, home runs. Wallner versus Torque.
You know where to find me. I ain't scared.
Uncle Ted says Torque. My man comes through. Look at that.
Torque. I'll double or nothing.
So so we're in a 4-game week. That's tough. What's the mid? It's Fried, Schwellenbach, Sale. So it's two lefties in the. It's really more. You can't really play any Minnesota lefties during the week. You got to wait till next weekend. So
and then you get Gossman, who pitches the contact, Barrios, and then Yariel for three innings.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. That the next weekend is nice for Marlins, Twins, lefties.
Yep, no doubt about it. We head to the New York Mets. They have six games this week, all on the road, three at Arizona, three at the White Sox, which is a matchup we all dream about when it comes to fantasy baseball. And the Mets offense has been outstanding of late. And three lefties, three righties, though. So how are we feeling on this one?
Yeah, I don't think you can really do anything actionable. I had wondered out loud, I think last week's show, with Starling Marte coming back, if that might be Starling Marte no longer coming back to a full-time role, and he has not started each of the last two games against right-handed pitching. So
interesting.
If you have Starling Marte, he may only start three games this week. I don't know if you can roster that, certainly in 12-teamers. And it's just someone who, like, you think of the name Starling Marte, he's great. Skills are still there. But if he's not playing against right-handed pitching, that's kind of an issue, man.
Yeah, we know he can't celebrate a home run like Jesse Winker, so it's going to hurt him.
That was cool. The Jesse Winker home run celebration was freaking sweet this week.
If they ever win a playoff game, I can't wait to see what he does there. He might go full Will Ferrell and old school on that one. New York Yankees, they have six games coming up next week, three at Washington, three at home versus St. Louis. So some nice matchups there, but it's three lefties and three righties once again.
Yeah, and with Jazz coming back, my dream of Oswaldo Cabrera being relevant probably goes away, as well as Oswald. I cannot believe these two guys are platooning at third base.
It's a perfect storm just to screw with us in such a
big That is just unbelievable, but we don't have to worry about it anymore, presumably with Jazz coming back.
All right, the Oakland Athletics, they have six games this week, all on the road. They have three at Cincinnati, three at Texas. Four lefties and two righties, so this might be a week to sit Lawrence Butler, who is back to – well, he played versus a lefty on Thursday, but he hadn't sat the previous couple versus lefties. Seth Brown's pretty much a no-go on this one. Yeah. I'm not looking to add Tyler Nevin or Daz Cameron, so anything interest you with the A's?
No, just an interesting note on Lawrence Butler, kind of. We knew he wasn't going to keep up the pace that he was, but has predictably cooled.
Yeah, recently. Another good game today, though. Like he's hit the last couple of days. Yeah, he'll be fine. Yeah. He's kind of like Elliot Ramos. He's like Elliot Ramos. They're not going to crush it, but they're going to be steady. Producers.
That's a really good comp. Both guys who were just on fire, but they're not, I don't think, like one-hit wonders type. I think they're good enough to stick around. So
then I'm going to highlight this. Osvaldo Beto has been great over his last three starts. He's at Cincy, though. Joe Boyle looked awesome in his first start of the two-step this week. He gets Texas. But I wanted to mention, is it Beto or Beto? I can't remember. But
I think it's Beto.
Beto, that's what I thought. So it's at Cincy this week, but next week, Seattle, Detroit, two-step. So get him this week for cheap is what I'm saying. The way he's pitching right now, he's pitching really, really well.
Say or don't. I don't believe in Osvaldo Beto. It's a 259 BABIP, which is rather fortunate. It's a 4% homer to fly ball rate. Again, league average on that is like 11, 12%. So he's just been very fortunate with the home run ball. Doesn't throw strikes, control's an issue. I think this has just been someone who has been running pure, being able to get to five innings plus. I don't know if that's going to be the case once the luck factors even out for Osvaldo Beto.
And you're just making me want to bet you so many things, and you just won't take any of them, so I'm just going to stop talking.
I mean, if you're the Osvaldo Beto guy, I might have to entertain some wagers. Just you think he's good?
I'm just riding the hot hand. He's been pretty, pretty formidable of late. Like, I think it's
they're
not
hot
bad
until
at all.
They're not, though.
We'll see. Get him for a buck this week, see what happens. Philadelphia Phillies, seven games coming up next week, all at home. They get the Houston Astros for three, then the Braves for four. One lefty, six righties, but as we always say, they're usually all rostered.
Yep. Don't think we can do anything with Phils.
I will throw this out here, though. Let me see what his roster rate is. He's still 98%. People are savvy. Carlos Estevez seems to be taking over closing duties in Philadelphia, which is not what I expected to see in that place.
Ranger Suarez is coming back.
He's coming back this weekend, so he'll be back in the rotation as well.
But probably widely rostered, I would think. So no, yes, not much for the Phillies for me.
Pittsburgh Pirates, six games this week, three at home versus the Cubs, three at the Cleveland Guardians, three lefties, three righties. I am moving on.
Same.
San Diego Padres, they have seven games this week. They have four at the Cardinals, three at Tampa Bay, seven right-handed pitchers for San Diego. Problem is unless you're tricking David Peralta, who actually has hit well over like the last 10 days. I wasn't going to completely crap all over him. Like, I actually wrote him up as a riser in this week's riser.
Oh, Jesus. Column. All right. Well, then there goes that.
Yeah. But Peralta is at least, I wrote in there deep league. I still don't trust him for 12s, basically. But it's a great schedule, all things considered.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Real quick on the Pirates. I know we've talked about Joey Bart, but we should mention him again. Just continues to hit. I would assume he's widely rostered at this point.
I'll tell you right now, he probably isn't because it's OCs and everyone sleeps.
I'm getting some blowback in the chat too on Osvaldo Beto from Uncle.
He's up to 85% now. That's good to see.
Joey Bart is.
Yeah, which is good to hear.
All right.
Anything else with San Diego? Because if you're not liking Peralta, there's pretty much no bats. And if we're talking pitching, we're still trying to find a fifth pitcher because they sent Matt Waldron back to AAA after getting shellacked out there. So not a whole lot, it looks like, in the San Diego department.
Matt Waldron was kind of the Gene Segura all-star of pitchers. Has been real bad lately. Have him on my TGFBI team and actively hurting you. Not only just not doing anything, but like actively hurting you.
So. When the knuckle stops knuckling, we have an issue.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But nope, I got nothing else. Maybe David Peralta, if you need a fifth outfielder deep, seven righties is good.
Yeah. Based on my art, referring back to my Carlos Estevez being the closer in Philly comment, Eric Halter makes a great point. Hoffman, Kirkery, and Alvarado all have ERAs over 4.5 since the All Star break. So Estevez has kind of found his way into that situation, which is pretty fun. All right, San Francisco Giants, they have six games coming up this week, three at Milwaukee, three at home versus Miami, six right-handed pitchers, all right-handed pitchers. The only guy I'm really interested in is Conforto. Like, everyone's going to say Wade, Conforto, Yastrzemski, that's the normal mess. That's where I would sit. There's one kid, though. This McRae kid interests me. I just don't trust him, but I'd rather probably have David Peralta. But people will mention Grant McRae also. But Conforto is the only guy I want. Anything for you?
No. I mean, the typical Lamont Wade, if you're in an OBP or points league, is really good this week. But outside of that, no.
And the one thing I will mention to definitely keep an eye on this weekend, Camilo Duvall is supposed to rejoin the Giants on Friday.
Oh, is he? I had totally not even thought about him lately.
I thought he'd be done, but basically this was a timeout because reports on Wednesday, I guess it was, said he had cleared his 10 days. Like, when he gets sent down, it's 10 days or an injury type situation to come back. He cleared his 10 days, and he's supposed to rejoin the Giants for the six-game road trip that starts on Friday. But they said he's not guaranteed to have his role because Ryan Walker has been good enough to not lose it. Something to monitor, though. There's three games That's coming up this weekend, and I dropped the ball in a league. I know other people did, too. Let me see what his roster rate actually is right now. Because
well, I thought have...
I thought he'd be out for a while. He's 53% rostered. So half the leagues have Duvall available in OCs. Something to keep an eye on is all I'm going to say.
And I've got Ryan Walker in a few leagues, and I kind of have him. I look at his name and like I have a closer the rest of the season. Yep, maybe that's.
And 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, when he was the hot topic, he was like the most expensive closer added that week. And a lot of people thought that. And the way the Giants reported it, sounded like he would be that. And he still could. Duvall could be an eighth inning guy. But just know he's coming back this weekend. Keep an eye on that situation.
Real quick, Eric in the chat, breaking news. Eric Halterman's coming to First Pitch Arizona for the first time. He asked, are there any hazing rituals to look out for? There absolutely are, but we're not going to share them on air. So we'll follow up.
It's like Fight Club. Rule number one, you can't talk about Fight Club. So what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, all those kind of things.
Look forward to meeting you, man.
Yep, going to be awesome. Going to be good stuff there. All right, Seattle Mariners coming up with six games this week, 3 at home versus Tampa, 3 at the Angels, 3 lefties, 3 righties. Not much you can do with that.
RIP Scott Service.
Yeah, wow.
Had many, many good years of service, actually, with Seattle. I liked him, but
I was surprised by that, honestly. I know they've struggled a lot, but I was like, I don't know if it's all his fault. But,
oh, it's not. I'm not surprised by it, just because the manager is always the fall guy. I mean, that's... Yep. It's not Scott Service's fault that the Mariners just cannot hit. This is I'll spare the Mariners speech for this year.
No, do it. I cry about the Giants all the time. Go for it.
It's just sad they're wasting like
a really good
team. The best rotation. like the best rotation. And the comment was made, I think Paul Sporer in a tweet today in our 2025 draft last night. The entire Mariners rotation was taken last night in the first 11. I think even you might have taken Bryce Miller last, or maybe it was Brian Wu last.
I have Bryce Miller. I took Bryce Miller.
Yeah, I know you have Bryce Miller in the seventh. I don't know.
Oh, Brian Wu was the last one off the board. Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
correct. But yeah, 4/5 of Seattle's rotation was gone by the seventh round. Brian Wu was taken in those first 11 rounds. I forget when, but it's just this is like, I don't want to say an all-time rotation, but an elite, elite rotation that Seattle is just wasting, and it sucks.
Yep, it's pretty, pretty bad. St. Louis Cardinals, they have 7 games coming up this week. The Padres at home for 4, then at the Yankees for 3. 1 lefty, 6 righties. Matt Carpenter, no, I'm just kidding. Like, there's not much when it comes to the Cardinals.
No, I mean, it's still and will always be barrel season, but that ship has sailed fab wise
and it's slowing down also.
Just a little speed bump on the road to greatness.
I'm starting him everywhere too. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it's starting to get to the point where he's not an auto start for me right now is what it's coming down to.
Just a real quick random observation. Ryan Helsley's next save will be his 40th of the season, which is
insane.
Which is bonkers. And he has 5 wins, like a low-key elite, elite relief pitcher season from Ryan Helsley.
He's almost going to be in that category of a league winner pick, basically, because where you got him. Like, what he's produced is insane.
Absolutely. I forget the ADP, but it wasn't. He was an afterthought. It was a mid-tier, like, closer, but it was, he's been absolutely amazing.
Yep, solid, solid stuff there. But, yeah, when I do the first pitch, I always – go over the saves and I say what number save it was. And ever since he's hit like 25 of them, I was like, what? No, he's leading the league. It's him and Clase every time. I was like, what the heck's going on here? Pretty, pretty crazy stuff. Tampa Bay Rays, they have 6 games this week, 3 at the Mariners, 3 at home versus the Padres, 1 lefty, 5 righty. Josh Lowe should be rostered, but anybody else for you here? I'm not really excited about the left-handed bats in this lineup. Brandon Lowe, if he's available, but he should be taken too.
Yeah, should be taken. I don't think there's much on the bat side. I think the more interesting fantasy thing here is the closer situation, right? So Manuel Rodriguez got the save on Wednesday, the day after Edwin. How is it pronounced? Do you know? Is it Uceta?
I've heard Uceta. I'll look it up to make sure, but I've heard Uceta, and it doesn't matter because it's going to be a rotation, cult committee thing.
I think so too, especially with 2 righties getting saves in the last 2 days. Richard Lovelady had a save out of like mid relief as a lefty. last Saturday. So I think this is another one where you
I was wrong. Kind
of stay away from. What do we got?
It's Useita. Useita.
All right. Yeah. Now I know.
Useita.
Where'd you go? Baseball reference?
Yep, baseball reference. Useita. But yeah, I think it's a committee, and if you're going to bid on them, bid low and just see what happens. I would not get too excited and too invested in the Tampa Bay situation.
Ooh, nice pull here from Kevin in the chat. Tampa is running like crazy. I did not realize this.
Yes, Caballero's going nuts.
9 more stolen bases than the Washington Nationals, who I always think as, at least this year, the beacon of green lights and stolen bases. Low batting average, but Taylor Walls and Johnny DeLuca will run, as will Caballero. Jose Caballero.
And I will say this much. I know I just poo-pooed the lineup. Darren Carlson's actually been productive for 15-team leagues. I will throw that much out there. Not, I don't trust him in 12s, but 15s. Dylan Carlson's been serviceable, very serviceable. All right, Texas Rangers, they have 6 games this week. They have 3 at the White Sox, 3 at home versus Oakland, 2 lefties, 4 righties. Texas is pretty much locked and loaded. Jonah Heim's played 3 straight games now.
Yeah, he's back. Yeah.
So he's got that going for him. That was fun. But anything else interesting here with Texas? They should be getting DeGrom back maybe another week and a half. Scherzer's around the corner. Thoughts?
Scherzer today, they didn't say why, but Scherzer is not making his rehab start on Fridays. I don't know what's going on.
I'm guessing it was supposed to be today on Thursday. Oh, okay. I'm guessing it's weather related, but the fact they haven't said anything makes me kind of concerned there.
Just something to look at, because do you mind looking up Cody Bradford's roster rate? He has been in four games since
58%.
Bradford. He's 58% in 12 teamers. So Cody Bradford, I don't know how long he stays in the rotation. If DeGrom comes back and starts, if Scherzer comes back and starts, but Cody Bradford has pitched very well since coming back off the IL, and at least in the short term is a really good ad. I don't know. Let's see what
Oakland we got. Oakland next week, potentially the Angels the following week.
Wow. So if he makes that Angel start, that's even better. But Cody Bradford, at the very least, a very attractive streamer against Oakland coming up next Saturday.
Tyler Molly just went on the IL yet again. And your boy John Gray returned. If you have any interest there, he's 33% roster, John Gray.
He came back in the bullpen. I don't know what the hell they're
He's supposed to join the road. He's supposed to take Molly's spot in the rotation. Okay. And he'll face Oakland next week if that's the case.
Yeah, that's right. Because when John Gray pitched, I believe it was a bullpen day, and it was first day back from the IL, so yeah. Probably just getting him some work. But so a lot of moving parts in the Rangers rotation. But John Gray does interest me. Cody Bradford interests me even more.
Yeah, and the Bradford thing's crazy because they've said flat out they don't want him in the rotation. They want him in the bullpen because of innings, but nice. They have no choice. They have no choice. No, they have no choice. They've been saying that since he got activated from the IL over a month ago. So
it's good. Your employer, you know, firmly backing what you wanted to do.
Toronto Blue Jays, they have, is that an 8 I see there? Yeah, 8 games. 8 games this week somehow. That can't be right. No.
So kind of. There's a suspended game.
Oh, okay.
There's a suspended game, and I think this was in the chat earlier. I can't. It's been an active chat. Beanable, yep. our buddy Steven. There's some weird fact that Danny Jansen, yes, interesting tidbit for a doubleheader game on Monday in Boston. Danny Jansen could technically play for both the Blue Jays and Red Sox in the same game, because they play each other. It's a makeup of a suspended game. So I don't know if that counts as a game for next week or how every format deals with it, but you might get a few extra at-bats out of the Blue Jays next week.
Okay, so otherwise, outside of that game, they have 7 games, and it's all versus right-handed pitchers. It's 4 at Boston, 3 at Minnesota. And honestly, I know it's been said many times, Will Wagner does entice me if you're looking for something here. I've been liking his upside. And then, no, I've been rostering Leo Jimenez in tout because I have no option at middle infield. But he homered a couple days ago. But I like Wagner, and then we'll get to the next one that Ted mentioned. But Wagner would be a target of mine.
I was looking more at rotation. Bowden Francis, what's his roster rate in 12s?
I know he was highly added this last week.
The skills have been off.
Still only 52%.
52%. Man, it must be late August.
Yes, it is.
Skills have been off the hook lately. However, I will say it's been against pretty easy schedule, and that will change going forward for Bowden Francis.
Boston, Philly.
Goes to Boston and then gets Philly. So kind of put up or shut up time for Bowden Francis, but someone pitching well and will be in the rotation as long as he pitches well.
Yeah, kind of like Osvaldo Baido, pitching well, and he's in the rotation as long as he pitches well.
So, well, there's these things called strikeouts and walks that I like to use to evaluate.
Skills?
Yeah, these things called skills. And Bowden Francis kind of has shown those recently, and Osvaldo Baido has not. So there's kind of a, you know, little difference there.
Man, people could watch political conventions or just watch me circle around and try to convince Ryan of stuff. It's more fun this way. All right, final team we're going to talk about here, the Washington Nationals. They have six games coming up this week, all at home versus the Yankees and the Cubs. Four lefties, two righties for the Nats. A couple things to watch. Joey Gallo returned, and he's already eating into Juan Yepez's playing time, which is ridiculous. Yepez did go deep on Thursday, thank goodness. But like, he's platooning with Joey Gallo, which is just not cool, given he faced a righty today. So maybe that'll change. We'll see. But yeah, Chaparro sat today, which is not cool either, because I like Chaparro quite a bit. But with the four lefties, you get Yepez, you get Chaparro. And then the guy that Ted mentioned, he's a lefty, though, is Jose Tenya. He's actually kind of played well. So deeper leagues, he could be an option as well.
Yeah. Jose Tenya, let's see. I'm looking up the minor league numbers. Worse than average strikeout rate, but decent power speed, 18 homers, 15 steals in AAA. He's a 23-year-old, so I don't know if I'm as high on Jose Tenya as Uncle Ted is. We've mentioned him a few times in the chat this evening. But if you need third base, I guess you could take a stab. But yes, is a lefty, and it's a lefty-heavy schedule for Washington. Probably will still play, but I don't know. I don't know why Andres Chaparro didn't start tonight. That is a little concerning.
I'm guessing just a day off with Gallo's back, but yeah, that's something I want to monitor, because Chaparro's played way too good to get this kind of treatment. Like, why are we playing Joey Gallo? What are we doing, Nationals? What are we doing here? So, yeah, we'll see. Anybody else on the Washington Nationals?
That's all I got, man.
All right, well, that'll wrap up the team-by-team schedules, which, yeah, is not nearly as lucrative looking as in weeks past, so let's get to the ad drops in the CBS world, and leading the way is Joey Bart, as it should be.
And also kind of as it should be, Spencer Torkelson.
Wait for that.
Number three. So again, what we're looking at here is the top risers in CBS ownership over the last week. And then I've added their skills to this board here, strikeout rate, barrel rate, and stolen base attempt rate, to kind of get a proxy for batting average, homers, and steals. So we covered these guys. Shea Whitcomb is number two, up from 4% to 20% in CBS leagues with a 7-game week for Houston. So I would take like Shea Whitcomb over Uncle Ted's boy, Jose Tenya.
And, oh yeah, 100%. What about over Torque?
Look at that beautiful comment from Eric in the chat. Joey, Matt Wallner, Gallo. God, that's good.
Yeah. That's dropping good bombs.
I don't know. What other? Did we miss any adders? Gavin Lux?
Yeah, there's Lux. There's Del Castillo, Bryce, Jace Young. Brandon Rogers somehow still available. You should be adding him, especially with the full Coors week. But yeah, Rogers has actually been serviceable. He's 85% rostered in 12s. He's on the season hitting 279 with 10 homers, but played much better, I'd say, the last couple months. Like, I'm kind of surprised he's still hanging around out there. There's Peralta.
There's David Peralta, up from 2% to 8%. And again, in an all 7 righty week, I guess that's
plays.
Yes, that would work. One name we did not mention with the Marlins is Connor Norby.
Yeah,
I think he plays regularly.
He should. Otherwise, why'd you call him up? Yeah, right. You don't call him up not to play him.
Unless you're the Orioles, but he's no longer on the Orioles. So
since he's been called up, he's played 3 games. He's got 4 hits in 3 games, yeah, 2 doubles, 2 singles.
Has made some hard contact in 45 plate appearances. Strikeout rate's been there, but Connor Norby is.
I guess so. I'll let that slide if someone wants to. I just don't know if there's much else, but like five category wise. He's 3% rostered though, so Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. Alex Call's down here, only 16% rostered in CBS leagues, up from 13%. Makes a ton of contact and runs for the aforementioned Washington Nationals and has been leading off all week and recently. So Alex Call, I think, is a good call this week.
Yep, he is. And Ramon Laureano's getting a lot of playing time. I just can't bring myself to do it. I'm just going to throw that one out there.
Yeah.
I saw his name and I'm like, no, not doing it. Just not going to do it. But yeah, we hit on most of these guys, which is always good to see when it's kind of like checking your work if you're doing a test or something, if it all kind of goes together there. But Adrian Del Castillo, I know I got to bring it back to catchers because that's what we do here. But boy's legit. That's all I'm going to say.
So yep. Up from 17 to 29%. In CBS leagues, Adrian Del Castillo, to kind of take it full circle since he's the first name we brought up in our exercise tonight. We'll drive that one home. Good ad at catcher.
Pitching side of things, this is where it gets fun. This is where it gets real fun because Zebby Matthews got blown up. Sir Anthony's blowing saves. There's Bido.
Yeah, so what I was going back about actual skills, so you can see, I know you're getting old, your glasses. This Bowden Francis line is, there's some green in there. See that? Hints of green. Do you see, I know you like your steak rare. I see a red steak rare skill for Osvaldo Beater there. Just can't throw strikes. So that's kind of driving my point home about these.
He throws 61% strikes. It's better than 50% of the time. That's, 61% of the time it works every time.
That's the worst ball rate of any pitcher on this list.
You should know me by now. I'm gonna fight till I go down. It's him and Michael Lorenzen. People love Michael Lorenzen. Come on.
Who else we missed? So Sir Anthony Dominguez is the top riser. This is obviously, I don't want to say stale, but this was probably gone down a little bit in the last couple of days, given Dominguez's blown save. So who else we miss? We didn't mention, well, you did mention Frankie Montas. Yep.
Lucas here, 6 widely rostered. Let me go see what Lucas is. He should be pretty much universal by now.
Should be widely rostered.
Ursa, 90%. Yeah,
he's the guy in Kansas City. Yep. DJ Hurst just seemingly always like a riser / fab guy. It's a roller coaster, man.
It's all green pretty much still.
He does miss bats. It's just he's got some, there's been some duds amongst some really good starts. For
he's a guy that I'm gonna want to have lots of late shares of in drafts this year.
Yeah, agreed. Cody Bradford is up from 40 to 49%. I shed my love for Cody Bradford just a few minutes ago, but I'll drive that one home. Porter Hodge. Up from 3 to 10% with really good skills over that 20% K to walk that we always like to talk about, and hopefully has the gig with the Chicago Cubs.
There's Valente Belazo that Ted's been talking about forever. That's a deep league only type play if you're streaming pitchers. I'll say that much. Like he's pitched okay, but there's a lot of volatility in there.
Yeah, Beto level skills there. So.
Michael Lorenzen's pitched really well since joining the Royals. I highlighted him on last night's first pitch. I can't bring myself to do it. I'll pull up his page right now. He's made at least 3 starts. I think it might be 4 with the Royals. But I was shocked because he dominated on Wednesday evening. So he's made 4 starts with the Royals August 3rd. And let's just shrink this down for fun. In those 4 starts, he's allowed 5 earned runs over 22 2/3 innings with 16 strikeouts. Still has 9 walks, which is not great, but he's limiting damage. But I will say this, 1.99 ERA. Can we guess the Sierra?
4-something?
5.03.
Oh, God.
So he's getting results right now, but you're waiting for the other Michael Lorenzen to show up still. Let's put it that way. But it is the Central. He's probably got some nice end of the month, end of the season.
Lorenzen gets a 2-step at Cleveland, at Houston next week.
Oh, yes. Man. That's a no for me, dog.
Agreed. I don't think we can do that.
15s, I can see it. There's not a chance I'll do that in 12s. Not a chance. But I just wanted to highlight him. He's better than I thought he was lately.
Got some green down here with Nick Martinez, the aforementioned Nick Martinez. up from 25% to 28%, but really good skills. Grant Holmes, again, great skills, but no longer in the rotation, so he's a drop. Think we covered it pretty well, man.
Yep, that's about it, because Justin Martinez is 91%. You still in on Aaron Civale? Just want to see, ask because he's on the list here, but I'm hoping you say no by now.
Kick me while I'm down, my friend. Yeah, I am officially taking the L there. I hung around a little too long. I was out on Civale, and then he got traded again to Milwaukee, and I was like, hell yeah. And then I just got destroyed again. So.
It was like that South Park meme where the dad just keeps getting punched in the face. He's basically saying, I didn't quit yet or something. Like, yeah. Just keep taking it. It's okay.
That's me with Civale. I'll admit.
All right, let's talk about some 2-start pitchers for the week. And D-backs for now don't have one, but that's because they technically have Ryan Nelson. They're going 6-man next week. Well, that whole thing's a mess there. Who knows? Brandon Pfaadt could get the Mets and the Dodgers. Either way, you're starting Brandon Pfaadt. So there you go. Atlanta, you're starting Fried and Schwellenbach, yes. I'm not going to say the matchups, but you're starting them both, yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Baltimore does not have any at the moment because of their 6-man. Like, they're thinking Eflin's already throwing, so he should be back after 15 days, which would put him back on Sunday, which would mess up the 6-man. Boston, Pivetta versus Toronto at Detroit.
I would do it, though. Nick Pivetta.
It's been shaky.
No. Yeah, he's been shaky, but skills look pretty good over the last month. So yeah, I'd go Pivetta, and I'd go Cooper Criswell if that actually happens.
I would not.
In 15 teamers, I would. It's a decent set of matchups, isn't it?
It is. It's Toronto's. I feel like getting better of late, but Criswell is not doing it for me. But to each their own.
Thought you liked it.
I did earlier in the year, but it's been way too much pitch to contact lately. Way too much for my liking.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, Nick Martinez versus Oakland versus Milwaukee. Yes. Talked about this one already.
Yep. Yep.
Colorado, you got Quantrill.
No. Don't even. It's all home. It's Quantrill and who the hell is. Who's T. Gordon? Tom Gordon. Tanner Gordon.
Tanner Gordon. Yeah.
0-5, 7.55 ERA. He's not even. Who's this guy? Brad Blaylock.
You sound like you're the groundskeepers for Major League. Who the are these guys?
I mean, do you know who Brad Blaylock is?
That's a negative, Ghost Rider. That's
he's
a negative.
Pitching on Thursday.
I've seen the name, but I couldn't tell you much about him. Let's put it that way. Chicago White Sox, you're not starting Davis Martin, but Garrett Crochet pitching 4 innings. He'll get you 8 innings next week. First Texas versus the Mets.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We all talk about Crochet and the 4-inning thing. He's not going to get you wins, but the ratios are still there. The Ks are still there. Like 8 innings of Garrett Crochet, give me that over a lot of these other options, even if you may not get a win. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm kind of coming around on Crochet while everyone else is fading him because skills
it's more
are,
so
are
like
still
if
awesome.
If you need wins, he's doing like if you're in a head-to-head league, he's crushing you.
Yeah,
that just doesn't work. It's kind of that mentality is when things are all said and done. Detroit, no. Houston, Manuel Blanco at Philly versus Kansas City.
Who's pitching for Detroit? Oh no,
Herder and Maeda. So okay. Can we move on now?
Apologies. This is why you steer the ship.
Manuel Blanco at Philly. First Kansas City. That's a yes.
Yeah.
Royals, you're starting Cole Reagans, but Lorenzen at Cleveland at Houston. I'd say 15's yes.
Sure. Even then, I'd still be hesitant, but I'll say sure.
I will say for the Angels, if you want to add Reed Detmers now for a dollar, go for it because he pitched another great start at AAA today.
Okay.
And they have zero reason to hold him back. That's just more like they called up Johnny Cueto. He must have slept with Ron Washington's daughter or something. I can't figure it out. There's no reason Detmers should be in AAA right now. So, yeah, get him cheap while you can. He'll be up soon. Dodgers, Walker Buehler versus Baltimore at Arizona. That's a sit.
No, that's a nuclear roster. Disaster waiting to happen.
Man, that we would have said those comments in March, people would have laughed us out of the room.
I know.
Miami, Edward Cabrera and Rodery Munoz at Colorado at the Giants.
Definitely not Munoz, probably not Cabrera. Maybe yeah, Cabrera in 15s.
Cabrera if you're really desperate for like strikeouts, but that's about as far as I go there. Milwaukee, Tobias Myers versus the Giants at Cincinnati. I'd say yes.
Yep, I'd do it.
Minnesota, you're starting Bailey Ober. Mets, you're starting Sean Manaea at Arizona at the White Sox. That's pretty sweet. Nestor Cortez, you're starting. Oakland, Mitch Spence at Cincinnati at Texas.
No.
Yeah, that was close to a 15, but no. I'm going to ask you this one. Christopher Sanchez versus Houston versus Atlanta.
Yes. Yes, you throw it. Had 8Ks tonight.
That's a first.
I'd do it. That's a first. Damn.
All right. San Diego, Randy Vasquez at St. Louis at Tampa Bay. That's a no.
I would lean no there. Randy Vasquez is not good.
Kyle Harris, you're starting Bryce Miller. Kyle Harrison at Milwaukee versus Miami. I'm going to go with yes, but just know it's very volatile.
Might get destroyed against Milwaukee, but are there talks of slowdowns with Kyle Harrison? Not that he's widely rostered, but
not yet. But the Giants, man, I don't think they know what they're doing these days. Honestly, it's pretty rough being a Giants fan right now. But we'll see how that one plays out. St. Louis, Kyle Gibson versus San Diego at the Yankees.
I've long given up on guessing what Kyle Gibson's going to do.
Because he looks like a Cy Young or a freaking batting practice pitcher.
I lean no, because like the Yankees could just...
They're torching everybody.
Murder him. So
yeah, I would sit him as well. 15s, I could understand it in 15s. Otherwise, I would sit Kyle Gibson. Ryan Pepiot at Seattle versus San Diego, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Andrew Heaney at the White Sox. Yays, that is a great two-step.
That's a great two-step.
There's always one pitcher that stands out, and Heaney's 53% rostered, so check your OCs on that one.
Dude, Andrew Heaney is 4-13 this year.
He pitched great on Wednesday. Previous two or three starts, horrific. So
4-13 with a 4 ERA. Kill the win.
Yeah. Well, because he had like 15 or 16 straight starts with 3 runs or less. Like he was dominating for a while there.
God, Texas offense this year, man.
Horrible. Tough. Horrible. Toronto Blue Jays, Berríos and Yeriel Rodriguez at Boston at Minnesota.
Berríos, yeah. Rodriguez, no.
Okay. And then Washington, Mitch Parker versus the Yankees versus the Cubs.
15s, I'd look at him. Yeah, I'd look at him. The Yankees scare me, but I'd look at him.
15s only for me. There's not a lot of 12-team streamers this week. Heaney, probably. Bido would be one in 2 weeks, but that's about it. Heaney, for sure, this week would be someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
All right, I got a few listener questions here in the chat. If I missed some of them, I'm sorry. I tried to keep up and star them if I saw them, but you guys are popping over there, which is great. I just might have missed them, so I apologize. Beanable says, better stream for this weekend, Volpe versus Colorado at home, so in the Bronx, or Carpenter at the White Sox. It's a categories league. Probably Carpenter, weirdly enough.
I'd go Volpe.
That's fun.
Yeah, there's not really a right or wrong answer there. That's a tough one.
Yeah. And then Bobo Beyond says, Brendan Rodgers or Brandon Lau? If healthy, I'd go Brandon Lau.
For this week? I'd go, yeah. Well, that's probably I'd go Brandon Lau until he breaks down, or if it's a lefty heavy week.
You're right, though. If it's just a weekly thing, Rodgers and Coors is the way to go
for seven games in Coors. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely something to think about there. Let me see what else we have question wise here. We have Bobo says, would you drop Robbie Ray for Bowden Francis? No.
Agreed. I'd hold on to Robbie Ray.
Torkelson or Edmund rest of season?
Torque.
I go Torque as well.
Yeah.
General
thoughts. It's more an indictment on Edmund, right?
Yeah, 100%. Playing time, production, you name it. That's that indictment. General thoughts on Caminero so far. I think the kid will be good, but I was never interested in him for this season.
And again, there is that looming question of will Tampa Bay send Caminero back down to keep him rookie eligible for next year, because there is an incentive to do that.
And our buddy Michael Cicchini says, are you in on Scherzer if available? I want to find out what took place for him to get scratched. If I know he's healthy and back in, because they said he only needs one rehab start, so he was supposed to be back next week. So I was definitely interested in, but now this little setback is a slight concern.
Yep, agreed. Nailed it.
All right. Any final thoughts, Ryan, as we wrap up another week of Fab? We'll have four more Fab episodes after this. Four. No one's counting, but four left after this.
We're going to miss it. I'm telling you. I'm going to miss these spreadsheets. It's as nerdy as that sounds.
Oh, I know. I know. I appreciate them. But and I think the listeners do as well. But I hope you guys all enjoyed it. We'll be back with you guys Tuesday to recap the meatball draft. It'll be the 40th recap you'll hear. And you'll hear us on other shows talking about it already. It's already planned. So we'll have some fun stuff.
We're like going on tour.
Yeah. We're like the Beatles of the Beatles for nerds.
I'm going to be on Rates and Barrels with my buddy Derek Van Riper on Friday. And then, Bubba, you have multiple appearances coming up.
Eric Halterman on Sunday, RotoWire show. I have the Fantasy Feud with Shelly and Sarah. Not sure what the topic is, but guessing there's going to be meatball draft conversation. We'll have our show on Tuesday. I'll bench with Bubba on Monday with Ben Tidd. We'll talk about the meatball draft. So lots of meatballs coming up. Lots of meatballs.
Getting hungry. Final thing, thanks to the chat. Awesome chat. Yeah. It is 10:30 p.m. Pacific. I know, Kevin, you're in Hawaii, but
Halterman's in Chicago.
Halterman's staying up. So and Michael, as always, Uncle Ted, as always, if you are a real person, I know, you know, you have admitted that maybe you are a bot. So here we go. No, really appreciate everyone hanging out in the chat. Makes these shows even more fun to do. So,
yep, awesome stuff. And it's like you said, it's late and it's August 22nd. Like,
yeah, that's the big, yes, exactly.
Those people have moved on. The college football week zero starts this weekend in Ireland. So it's that time of the year, folks. And trust me, we both love college football here, but we know people have moved on. So thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. For those listening, thanks again, as usual. And we'll be back with you guys next Tuesday. But until then, make sure y'all check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intrick, and this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 163. Catch y'all next time.